This morning we're going to read from Psalms 8, 1 through 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babies and infants. You have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avengers. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You may be seated.
Good morning. I don't know where Stacy went. Can everybody hear me good? That was kind of a loud thing. Good morning. If you would join me in a simple prayer, please, before I start, is Lord, speak your word through me today. This is such a great message, and talking about how majestic you are, Lord, with our limited capacity of thinking, I don't think we can even put ourselves there yet, but one day we will. We will see your majesty and your glory. Now, Lord, today as I go through this message, help me bring it to the people, but the glory to you. I just pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, like Pastor Seth said, we are in the summer of the Psalms. And whenever I talk about Psalms, it reminds me of a time when I was really starting out as a new Christian, and I was very, very hungry for the word of the Lord, which I still am. But on one particular Sunday, I was on my way to church, and I heard Chuck Swindoll come on the radio talking about the Psalms. And he said, the Lord loves to hear the Psalms read or prayed back to him. And I went, wow, loves to hear read back to him. So I started doing that every day, and that was in like 1999. So it's been about 20 years. I read a psalm every day. I go through the Psalms and continue on doing other readings, but I do a psalm every day. And I don't think maybe I missed a dozen days in 20 years. But it's just a great, great book, the book of Psalms, and most of them are songs written by David. And to hear from us and not just asking for things. Our psalm today is Psalm 8. I also find it valuable to consider who wrote this particular psalm, as it was King David. I can envision him, if you can, have him sitting on the hillside overlooking a sheep, looking at all of God's creation, and then laying back and looking up at the stars. And I just find that amazing. Up here, there's a lot of lights, and in the city, you don't see stars like that. And to see the heavens and the glory of His majesty, it's kind of hard to explain, so I'm going to do my best to do that. This magnificence, this is caught in his heart and his soul. The Psalm of the people applies to Israel and equally to us today as well. There are three general areas that Psalms fall into: blessed, fallen, and redeemed. This background helps us to understand and reflect on these words. We can see God's perspective of life. Perspective is powerful. How we see God is, well, will determine how we see ourselves and how we live our lives. Psalm 8 is a hymn of praise. In it, our place in the world is established. First, we see our perspective in God. Psalm 8, verse 1 from the NLT version says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Our perspective of God begins with his name. David begins his psalm by addressing God by his personal name, O Lord, Yahweh. God is known because he has chosen to make himself known. He revealed his name to Moses, I am who I am. He revealed himself through Jesus, who said, before Abraham was born, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In those words, Jesus said, I am. I am God. David gives value to God's name. How majestic is your name in all the earth? Majestic refers to a sovereign power, authority, dignity, used in addressing or referring to a reigning sovereign, your majesty, greatness and splendor of a quality or character. How can I explain the majesty of God to you? I don't know that I can. It would be like trying to explain how majestic Pike's Peak may look. Have you ever seen Pike's Peak? I've seen pictures of it on television, but never been there. I can only imagine. And that reminds me of that song, I Can Only Imagine. What will we do when we see the living God face to face? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I find that just absolutely amazing. And then in Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And at the first voice which I had heard speaking to me, like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on it. The one who sat on the throne had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. That's majesty. I could try to use these words to show you photographs that would pale in comparison to a real awesomeness of an actual mountain or of God. This is where David turns to God's creation. We see the psalmist having the same trouble. How do I portray God's majesty? I will look at God's creation, influenced by his creation in Psalm 8, verse 1. Glory, your glory, is higher than the heavens. Although we don't know exactly the situation in which this psalm was written, we do know that David wrote it. I see David writing Psalm 8 one night as he laid under the stars. Have you ever laid out under the stars and looked up at the heavens? On a clear night, away from city lights, the sky erupts with millions of stars. Some nights you can see a blur of stars that we call the Milky Way. You know the starlight is always there. The clouds and lights prevent us from seeing it all the time. Just as in life, distractions can prevent us from seeing God's majesty. That's why it's important to get away, to meditate, to reflect on God. David was a shepherd boy. He spent many nights out in the Judean hillside, tending sheep. I'm sure that starry nights were a regular occurrence for him. He could have been reminded of God's promise to Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. All of this led David to sing out, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Whether it is the night sky, a morning sunrise, or an evening sunset. A majestic mountain, a beautiful forest valley, or an immense ocean. These are all the handiwork of our Heavenly Father. And they tell us that He is powerful, artistic, creative, eternal, a sovereign ruler over all. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. It is God's creation which points as evidence to God's existence. In Psalm 19, verse 1, NIV version says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. The creation is a powerful witness to God's existence for all who are willing to perceive it. Our perspective of God is influenced by His creation, confirmed by His people. Psalm 8, verse 2 says, you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. This could be a reference to Goliath of Gath, a mighty warrior who came against God's people with instruments of war, a mighty sword, a shield, a big spear, but he was defeated by a little shepherd boy with a slingshot. God's power and majesty are revealed most effectively when he uses the weak instruments to proclaim his power and strength. Isn't this what Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27? When he writes, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were led by noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I remember when I got this privilege to go meet with people and bring them the word of God and to pray with them. I said, why me? I am not schooled in seminary, Bible. I read my Bible every day. But why did you pick me? And they said, because we feel that you have the ability to go meet with people. I just happen to love the elderly. I'm elderly. Kind of goes together. I do love children. I have great grandchildren. But to go out and do what I do with no real schooling or training, that was amazing to me. So I just thank God for that every day. God's greatness and majesty are displayed through willing, weak, and available people like you and me. People who praise and worship Him in good times and in bad. We serve and obey Him whether we are not fully understand. We follow in faith wherever He is leading. A.W. Tozer, in his classic, The Knowledge of the Holy, wrote, the history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spirituality history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. When I read this book, I was ready to quit everything. As much as I thought I learned through my Bible reading and studying on my own, when I read this book about the knowledge of the Holy, we have, in my opinion, we have no idea on how to worship God. When we see Him, we will. That's how majestic He is. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has been greater than its idea of God. So what is your idea of God? How do you view God? Well, your review of God doesn't change God, or his indescribable greatness, it does change you. Your belief about God, your perspective on God, has a huge impact on your life. In Psalm 8, we begin with our view of God, and in light of that, we see who we are, our perspective of us. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think of them? Human beings that you should care for them? This speaks to our insignificance. I know the feeling. Maybe you do too. You lay there looking at the stars, and soon you begin to feel overwhelmed by it all. There are billions of stars in the universe, most of which we cannot see. Those we can see, we may be many light years away. Perhaps they've already exploded. And in another 70 years, we will see it briefly. Most of the stars are larger than our sun. And our sun has the mass of 332,000 times greater than the earth. So just think of what those stars are. And Jesus calls them out every night by name. That's majesty. Added to all this, there are more than 7 billion people on this planet. And you are only one of them. Are you beginning to feel a little insignificant? David did. And therefore, he couldn't help asking, what is man that you are mindful of him? What claim has one so weak and so frail and short-lived to be remembered by an almighty God? What is there in man that entitles him so much notice? We are insignificant. Our lives are like a vanishing mist. We are sinful and polluted. And the question we may be asked, why does God even bother with us? And why does he care? The truth is that before the awesomeness and majesty of God, apart from God, we are totally insignificant. Apart from God, we are insignificant specks in an immense universe. Fortunately, this is not the end of David's contemplations. In verse 5, he says, yet you made them a little lower than the heaven, lower than God's crowned them. I'm sorry, let me do that again. Yet you made them a little lower than God and crowned them with honor and glory. Our God-given significance. This is a wonderful example of the Old Testament grace. In spite of our natural insignificance and worthlessness, God has given us significance by crowning us with glory and honor. God himself has given us worth and value. Therefore, our value as individuals is not to be found in the quality or quantity of our labor, in the money that we earn, in the jobs we have, in the success that we have, or our earthly status that we attain. Our value is found in our relationship to God. We have been created in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God alone gives us importance and worth. Your worth does not come from anything or anyone else. It does not come from your parents, what they thought about you. It doesn't come from your children, what they think about you. It doesn't come from what friends say about you. It doesn't come from the person sitting next to you in church today. Your worth and value come from God alone. He says you are of extreme value to him. In Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we share God's glory. Now that is something we can never deserve. And yet, that is the position and status that we have been given through the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has crowned us with glory and honor. God demonstrated his view of us people, giving us major responsibilities. In verses 6 through 8, you gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and herds and all the wild animals, birds of the sky, fish of the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean current. So it all worked out. God has done much more than that with us. He is entrusting his entire creation to our care. This is our vocation, our overall purpose on this planet. God has given to us an honorable and privileged position as caretakers of his creation. Because of the value and significance we have to him, in other words, you are worth more in the eyes of heaven than you can possibly imagine. Life's application. Perspective, how you see God, how you believe that God sees you and values you is huge. Your perspective doesn't change God. God exists whether you believe in him or not. God is all-powerful and majestic and holy and loving, whether you see him that way or not. Your perspective doesn't change God, but it will change you. When you see how great God is and how much he loves you, it will change how you see life. It will change your life. It will change your attitude towards life. It will change the expectations in your life. It will change the relationships you have in life. It will change the purpose of your life. It will change the priorities in your life. It will change your worship. It will change your witness. It will change your service. And it will change your giving. When you see how great God is and how much he loves you, it will change everything. My friends, when you let God change your perspective, then God can change you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity to speak your word to my friends and our church family. Still trying to make out what your majesty truly is, Lord. One day we'll see that. But until then, help us to try to understand how majestic you are. Because you say in your word, Lord, David wrote, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.